My Life in Christ, Part 2, Book 2, page 164. Amongst Christians, both the sciences and the literature have now become almost wholly worldly. The gospel and religion are neglected. The lives of the saints are scoffed off. In general, there is everywhere a kind of feverish worldly activity, whilst no one thinks of pleasing God and of the salvation of his soul. What a pitiable condition! Our modern idolatry in Christianity consists in self-love, ambition, worldly pleasures, gluttony and love of gain, adultery. It is this that has completely turned away our eyes and hearts from God and the heavenly country, and has nailed us to the earth. It is this that has uprooted brotherly love and has set us against one another. Woe, woe, woe unto us! How do we receive the highest mystery of divine love to us, the mystery of the Christian faith, with our mind, heart, and life, with our free will? Are all the three powers of our souls penetrated by the holy faith, as were the souls of the saints? The kingdom of heaven is like Laban, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, the three powers of the soul, till the whole was leavened. St. Luke 13:21. We receive worldly, transitory, sinful things, sensuality, covetousness, and ambition, with all the powers of our souls and bodies, but not heavenly and eternal things. The Lord God has, so to say, shared his eternal life with us. We are all made godly by his most pure body and blood, united to divinity. I have said, ye are gods, and ye are all the children of the Most Highest, our Father, which art in heaven. Ought not we also, in accordance with his will, to share that which serves to the support of our souls and bodies, our mind, our knowledge, our material property, with our neighbors? For did not he himself promise us not a diminution, but as increase of the talents entrusted to us and returned by us? With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. If God has received us into communion with his divinity, unto the communion of his body and blood, then we likewise ought to have all things in common, without, however, encouraging idleness and slothfulness. That is, the rich should help the poor, bestowing as much charity as possible. They should receive strangers, visit the sick, comfort the afflicted, instruct the ignorant, teach the erring, forgive offenses, remembering that we are all Christ, and Christ shall recompense for all and for everything. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. St. Matthew 25:35, and so on. The cross and the sign of the cross are the power of God. This is why the Lord is always present in them. Similarly, the icons of the Lord and the Mother of God, of the holy angels and saints, may also possess the power of God for believers and may accomplish miracles upon them. Why? Because by the grace of God, the Lord, the Holy Virgin, and the angels or saints are present in them. That is, they are always as near us and even nearer than these images, truly so. Experience very often confirms this. What do theaters bring into the hearts of men, or today's TV? The spirit of this world, the spirit of idleness, of idle speaking, of joking, of cunning and wickedness, of pride, presumption. They do not bring any moral good to anyone. The authors of the pieces and the actors only give people what they have in themselves, their own spirit, neither more nor less. And do the actors think of public morality? Have they any intention of correcting people's morals? None whatsoever. Always consider it a great happiness to converse in prayer with the Lord or with our most pure Lady, the Mother of God, or with the angels and saints, and always pray to them with trembling reverence, remembering with whom you are conversing, you, an impure, insignificant worm. Why has our sincere prayer for each other such great power over others? Because of the fact that by cleaving to God during prayer, I become one spirit with Him and unite with myself by faith and love those for whom I pray, for the Holy Ghost acting in me also acts in the same time in them, for He accomplishes all things. We being many are one bread and one body. 1 Corinthians 10:17. There is one body and one spirit. Ephesians 4:4. The spiritual tranquility and blessedness which we sometimes experience in God's temple during the harmonious singing and the distinct greeting of the reader or of the officiating clergy is a foretaste of that infinite bliss which those will experience who will eternally contemplate the unspeakable goodness of God's countenance. We must be zealous about harmonious singing and distinct reading. By calling upon the names of God's saints in prayer, we move them to pray for us. When entering the temple of God to pray, we should know and remember that we are the children of the Heavenly Father and have come unto His house. Wherefore we must stand there with son-like feeling of sincere love and gratitude in fervent prayer. Our spirit should cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. How good Thou art, Lord, and how near art Thou to us. So near that we may always converse with Thee, be comforted by Thee, breathe through Thee, be enlightened by Thee, find peace in Thee, obtain spiritual breath in Thee. Lord, teach me simplicity of love for Thee and my neighbor, so that I may ever be with Thee, that I may ever find peace in Thee. Lord, grant that I may not for a single moment have fellowship with the most abominable, most evil enemy, the devil, neither by malice, nor pride, nor envy, nor avarice, nor by love of gain, nor gluttony, nor impure thoughts, nor blasphemy, nor despondency, nor falsehood, nor anything sinful. Grant that I may ever be wholly thine. My infinite blessedness, Lord Jesus Christ, of what blessings hast Thou not made me a partaker during my temporary existence? I thank Thee, my mercy, my blessedness, that if the earthly blessings are so numerous, so various, so sweet, then what must heavenly spiritual blessings be? They are more truly infinite, numberless, unimaginably sweet. Do not deprive me then, most merciful, most glorious Lord, of these Thy heavenly blessings too, which Thou hast prepared for those who love Thee. Do not deprive others of them either. Grant that they may all know thee, Lord, our blessedness, for thou art our blessedness everywhere upon earth too, for every blessing is thy work. And beside this, grant, Lord, that I may also submissively bear the afflictions of this life. They are necessary for my passionate flesh, for my old man. Lover of men, teach the rest of thy people also to bear them submissively, and grant that they may learn the need of them. Patient in tribulation, Romans 12:12. In the world ye shall have tribulations, St. John 16:33. When you ask for life, faith, and spiritual understanding for others, do you ask sincerely, not hypocritically, only with your tongue? Do you desire from all your soul that they should progress in these? Are you yourself progressing in the same? Do not you yourself remain in the bondage of the passions? Beware, the Master sees everything with his clearest eyes. It is necessary to pray to him with understanding, in the simplicity of your heart, with a fervent spirit. When owing to sickness proceeding from various causes, you feel unwell and indisposed, then when in this condition your prayer is cold and heavy, filled with despondence and even despair, do not be disheartened or despairing, for the Lord knows your sick and painful condition. Struggle against your infirmity, pray as much as you have strength to, and the Lord will not despise the infirmity of your flesh and spirit. When you feel yourself to be an impious, impure, wicked, blasphemous sinner, and therefore do not feel worthy to draw near to Our Lady but pray to her, then is the very time to pray fervently to her, just because you feel yourself such a sinner. Do not lie in the mire of sin, but come to Our Lady, stand before her image in the hope that she herself is there present. Show her without shame your sinful sores, heavy loathing for them, and ask her to cleanse you from the spiritual leprosy, and you shall be not ashamed, and you shall not be shamed. The all-merciful one will not despise you. The most pure and most speedy helper will cleanse you, as the Lord himself cleansed the 10 lepers. Where shall I find Christians who by his action teaches others to despise the flesh as soon passing away, and to care for the immortal soul? Where shall I find a man of such a elevated spirit? It is hard to find such a one on earth, though certainly there are some such, but in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, in the heavenly church, there are as many such men as there are stars in heaven. By renouncing themselves, the old, corrupt, lost man, the broken vessel that cannot contain any water, they have taken up their crosses and followed Christ. They have given up their whole lives to him, despising the flesh and the world as transitory. They heard the voice saying, "What is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" St. Matthew 16:26. And they knew that the flesh and the world shall pass away and shall be no more, and that our soul is priceless, because being an image of God, it is immortal, and that therefore the whole world is worth nothing in comparison with his soul, that it is transitory. For heaven and earth shall pass away, according to the word of the Savior, besides that at every step with our own eyes we become convinced of the transitoriness of this world. Everything in the world moves and revolves, and all the elements are in motion. The seasons of the year change whilst with men. Some are born, some die, some marry, others lose their wives. Some build themselves houses, whilst others are deprived of dwellings and property. Some towns extend and are embellished, while others are destroyed by fire and reduced to ashes. Everything upon earth passes away, and this shows that the earth itself shall someday also pass away. If everything in the house takes fire, then the house itself will be burned. The heavens and the earth are reserved into fire, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and earth are, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Where then shall I find true Christians who despise everything earthly as transitory and strive with all their might to please God, their eternal Father, and to save their souls? Where shall I find a man of such lofty spirit that, like some king or god, he would despise everything earthly for God's sake, and would bravely subdue to this reason or to the law of God all worldly passions and attachments? Who would be zealous for God's zeal for the salvation of his brethren, and would care for their enlightenment, cleansing, and strengthening in faith and virtue? Lord, raise such lights on the candelabrum of this world, on the candelabrum of thy church, that they may preach thy glory, that they may be zealous of thy glory and of the salvation of thy people. Lord, all things are possible unto thee. Lord, how long shall the vanity of this world move? How long shall we turn away from thee, our Creator and Savior? Lord, let all things concerning us be ordered according to thy will. When a strange, proud, evil spirit disturbs you before or after the reading of the prayers to the Lord God or to the Mother of God, then represent vividly to yourself that all these present in the temple are the children of the Heavenly Almighty, unoriginate, infinite, most merciful Father, and that the Lord is their Father, and pray to him boldly, peacefully, joyfully, freely, before the face of all men, fearing neither mockery nor contempt, nor the malice of the children of this world. Do not be crafty nor ashamed before the face of man. Do not doubt, but pray sincerely to the Heavenly Father. Especially say the Lord's Prayer, reverently, peacefully, not hurriedly. In general, read all the prayers, quietly, evenly, with reverence, knowing before whom you are saying them. How many Christians there are who say, I believe in God, without in reality believing? How many mouths are dumb when in the company of men it is necessary to defend the glory of God and of his saints, which is blasphemed by the children of this world? Some remain silent when it is necessary to support the conversation concerning God, or to put a stop to any disrespect or insolence. Many say, I believe in God, but should any misfortune or temptation arise, they grow faint-hearted and despondent. Sometimes they begin to murmur. And what becomes of all their faith? This should be the very time to show submission to the will of God and to say, let it be as the Lord wills. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Otherwise, it is evident that they only believe in God in a time of happiness and renounce him at a time of misfortune. Bear the sufferings and painful smarts of the operation so that you may regain your strength afterwards. This is said in reference to confession. It means that at confession you must declare all your shameful deeds to your confessor without concealment. Though to do so may be painful, shameful, ignominious, and humiliating. Otherwise, the wound will remain unhealed, will ache and be painful, will undermine your spiritual health and remain as a leaven for other spiritual infirmities or sinful habits and passions. A priest is a spiritual physician. Show him your wounds without being ashamed, sincerely, openly, with some like trust and confidence, for the confessor is your spiritual father, who should love you more than your own father and mother, for Christ's love is higher than any carnal, natural love. He must give an answer to God for you. Why has our life become so impure, so full of passions and sinful habits? Because a great many conceal their spiritual wounds and sores, owing to which they ache and become inflamed, and it is impossible to apply any remedy to them. Let heaven and earth, created by the Lord and existing, acting and moving through him, teach me, I, who am one spirit with the Lord, what is there for me to grieve at when I am and can ever be one spirit with the Lord. I will cast all my care upon him. Heaven and earth exist for thousands of years through the Lord, through his power and laws, though they are soundless, soulless, inert, inactive, and powerless matter, and the grass and the flowers of the field, the birds, the fishes, etc., how all they teach us to entirely trust in God's providence. Do not despise any man, however poor she may be, but behave with full respect and kindness to every well-intentioned man, especially to the poor, as to our members worthy of compassion, or rather, to members of Christ, otherwise you will cruelly wound your soul. Oh, how easy it is to appear to live in simplicity and love, and yet how difficult it is for our corrupt hearts to live in love. At every step, there is a pretext for enmity against our brother. Lord, I am thy vessel. Fill me with the gifts of thy Holy Spirit. Without thee, I am void of every blessing, or rather, full of every sin. Lord, I am thy ship. Fill me with the cargo of good works. Lord, I am thy ark. Fill me not with the allurement of love of money and pleasures, but with love for thee and living image, thy living image, man.